Star Trek 57, M23, take two.
It's the It's Got Star Trek podcast.
Think about it, Tom. Before we got involved, these people were planning to commit some kind of sabotage next week. We were the ones who forced a change in their schedule. Because of us, they decided to begin today at 400 rotations. And we know the detonation takes place today just after 401.
401-2284. Wait a minute. You're saying we're responsible for an explosion, even though it occurred before our ship arrived here?
We've traveled back to a point in time before the explosion. So yes, we can be responsible for it.
Let's say we never came, and their plans didn't change. Wouldn't the accident simply have occurred next week instead of today?
Who knows what might have happened between now and then. They could have been arrested before they got a chance to carry it out. Conditions at the plant might not have been the same next week. But it's become our problem now, Tom. And we have got to find a way to solve it.
Everybody got that?
Okay, we have started.
Right.
Yeah, at least according to the...
We started counting.
I feel so different now. I feel like a different person.
It is an interesting...
is rolling.
It is an interesting transition from not podcast to podcast.
I got
to
put on my podcast mouth.
I can feel the atmosphere changing.
Yeah. I switch my mouth, put on a new mouth.
Your mouth goes like inside out.
I got to put on my podcast mouth so I can...
goes all inverted.
So I can say podcast things that are interesting on the podcast about like how I have a new mouth that I put on when
mouth,
I do my podcast.
You open your mouth and stuff comes out of it.
Is this one... Is
you
this,
open your mouth, stuff comes out of it too.
Is this the new
no,
mouth?
No, I'm just saying.
I'm just saying. You were just saying. I was just saying. We were both just saying.
I'm just saying.
The podcast mouth is talking about the podcast mouth.
Yeah.
That's heavy.
This is an upsetting start to the podcast.
It's recursive beginning.
We're really...
I don't like it.
Let's be nice now.
Do it. Each other to ourselves by not getting all existential
all around.
All right. I'll do the things that are expected so that Dan can do the things that are expected.
Got it.
And then Jesse will no doubt try to hinder the things that are expected, which in and of itself would be expected. So, all right, here we go. Welcome to the It's Got Star Trek podcast.
Hello.
It seems I found myself on the voyage of the damned.
You said it, brother.
Yeah, I said it.
You said it.
It had to be said.
It had to indeed be communicated.
There's some good lines from that fellow in this episode.
Hey, Jesse.
Oh, no.
Hey, Jesse.
Oh, my God.
Hey, I had to do it again because last week it was too high-pitched. So hey, it's got to be more like, hey, Jesse.
Hey, Dan.
Hey, Jesse.
Hey, Dan.
Hey, Jesse.
I'm going to go down like this.
Hey, Jesse.
Yes.
What are you doing? No, actually, what I really wanted to point out was last week, and we totally glossed over it, is Jesse last week at one point said, on the rad. Last week.
Yeah.
Did he sneak that
sometimes
in?
Snuck it in.
Sometimes I think I've tried to sneak it in before.
We haven't said that in a long time.
We haven't. I might have noticed
he's
that
glad.
And not mentioned that we hadn't said that.
He was on the glad. We did not say on the
I'm rad. Not a fan of, I believe, Dan. Did you come up with that, Dan? That it's on the rad?
Supposedly.
Yeah. News em ups.
Supposedly I did.
News em ups are on the rad.
Yeah. So Dan came up with this, it's on the rad. And I don't know. It makes me uncomfortable, that slogan.
Yeah. No, it doesn't.
Everybody
makes
loves
you feel
it.
Good. Makes you feel
me,
good.
Makes me.
No, you're wrong. You're wrong. It doesn't make you feel good.
All right. So, yes. Welcome to the It's Got Star Trek podcast.
Welcome.
Today, you are listening to, well, we don't know when they're listening. Never mind.
How many
it might
times
not
we have
be
to go,
today.
How many times do we have to go through this issue of like, well, we're recording now, but they're not listening now, so
no
we
one's
going
to be
li-
able to listen to it today because it's not released.
I don't think, we go through that very often. I think it's because you started with this whole recursive stuff, and my brain is getting all confused. So
functions calling themselves.
Right. Yeah, it's the It's Got Star Trek podcast.
Yes.
I think it's episode 295?
Yeah, something like that.
I believe it's 295.
Okay.
That sounds good, guys.
The It's Got Star Trek podcast.
All right.
And on the 295th episode of the It's Got Star Trek podcast, which is here, This one. We will be discussing
this one here. That's right.
The very, very early season one Star Trek Voyager episode. Time.
It's so early.
Time and again.
Like Kes's hair is
weird. We're from the future.
Jesse, you forgot.
No, see, I told you.
I didn't know you were going to start.
No, because he announces the episode and then I play a sound.
The episode title.
Oh, you're going to do that every episode?
Yeah. That's what I've been doing every episode. Is he says, "Welcome to the podcast," and I play the sound, and then he announces the episode that we're listening to, and then I play a sound.
I'm keeping it shut.
No, I mean it's fine. I'm just helping you out here. I'm just giving you a boost. Just giving you a boost. You know,
all right, good.
We're from the future.
That's what it was. Yes. So you can like imagine that Patrick just said it, and then imagine
when you played it previously, you were actually playing it now.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Maybe
is there something I can do for you?
Is the reason we're acting like this influenced by the episode we just watched?
Whoa, time.
Do you think that's what it has to do with?
Whoa, time. Tachyons. It's got to be tachyons. That's the culprit.
Was it tachyons?
Well, it's always tachyons. Tachyon, maybe not this episode.
It was some kind of subspace.
This was not tachyons.
No, but there's always tachyons.
This is a propofol or something.
Tachyons are assumed that there's tachyons involved. Paramount Plus capitalized the "and" in "time and again."
Yeah.
That is
You're not supposed to capitalize.
Yeah. And so,
this is very strange.
And Paramount Plus said it was episode 4, and so I immediately assumed it was wrong. But if you look on Google, Google says it's episode 4.
This is one of those classic debates.
But it's usually Paramount Plus has something different than what Google has, and this time they were the same.
I found it interesting to see which places had it listed as the 4th episode and which places as the 3rd. Now, the eagle-eyed. Or eagle-eared. Or eagle numeric.
Dog-eared.
Numeracy.
Dog-eared, is that a thing already? Is that something people say already?
If you have
it is, but not for the context we're talking about.
All right.
But, I'm sorry.
Okay, there's a keeper.
Yeah.
The reason for the discrepancy in the number is because it is in the first season, and this is a classic issue where the pilot episode, Caretaker, is in some places split in two as episodes 1 and 2 of Voyager, and in other places just as episode 1.
Right. Oh, God.
My God.
Indeed. And there are arguments for different sides in terms of how it's listed in the production order.
That's nice.
You got Memory Alpha, Google, Wikipedia.
I suggest we search for other tangible evidence.
IMDb. All of this. I don't know exactly where I fall. I think I have listed it as the 3rd episode of the season.
But
I do think of Caretaker as a single episode.
Please elaborate.
It's so early. They're leaving. Like they're turning the doctor off, and he wants to like kind of stay turned off unless they need him. Like he hasn't become like a regular guy.
Well, the character development is very early.
Yeah, because like Neelix, Janeway's all asking Neelix about, do you know any of these aliens? And he's kind of sheepishly like, oh no, I guess not. You know,
they still haven't gotten onto the fact that he's a total liar.
But like later on, it's like he doesn't have to worry about keeping his place on Voyager, but he's still worried about it now.
Yes.
And later on, he kept his place by, I guess, making. I mean, the joke is his food is terrible, but I guess he does make food from crap. But also, the doctor is more cranky. Yes. It seems like
he's more cranky. And it's funny. Tuvok and Chakotay are at odds with each other. Right, there's a whole bunch of stuff. There's a whole bunch of stuff.
It's funny. The doctor was like blaming the fact that Kes's brain was on fire. He's like, who fucked that up? And he's like, oh, it was me. But then he still found a way to blame someone else. He's like, well, if somebody had told me. Like it's never his fault. He's always passing.
And
the
our
luck.
Hair is all weird. Kes's hair. It's all strange.
Oh, you want to talk about hair. You want to talk about weird alien hair? Every single person on that fucking planet had some kind of weird alien hair.
We're gonna get to that.
Okay, I thought we might.
And weird alien clothes.
We're gonna get to all of this.
Calm down.
There is a lot that is interesting and entertaining in this episode because it is so close to the beginning of the series, and we'll get into that. But Voiced, a couple of things.
Programming notes?
Look, well, we do have one programming note. Is
really? The only humans out here, Harry.
And we'll talk about horny boy Paris as well.
Yeah. Oh, that's another one. He became less of a dick as the seasons went on.
Yeah.
He didn't understand that like the reason Harry didn't want to tell them that he had broken this record is because like Harry just wanted to be honest, but that didn't occur to Paris. He's like, what? They'll never find out. Yeah. And it's like totally different sort of.
Well, wouldn't that be in the computer?
I suppose it would. They could just look it up. That's true. But like, I was just saying, Harry's concern was with being honest, and Paris like didn't even occur to him that that would be a concern.
And indeed, that's another thing we can talk about in just a bit, because it occurred to me recently. I don't know when
it occurred to me,
but it was recently that it's been a little while since we explained to folks.
Wait a minute.
Since we provided our audience with the opportunity, with a reminder that we have an offer, an ongoing offer that has not been taken up in quite some time.
Is it the haiku?
It is the haiku.
Oh,
we
crap.
Have a deal. We have a deal out there.
You don't scare me.
If you leave a review, Dan will write you a haiku.
That's crazy.
He'll write you a haiku based
on
your name.
I know you're lying.
No, we're not lying. It's a bespoke haiku, handwritten, mind written, whatever the appropriate term is by Dan.
Mind written.
All you need to do is write a review. And it helps if you let us know you wrote the review, because our review sniffer doesn't always get it in all the places. Now, I'm not going
to
suggest...
Do you honestly expect us to believe all this?
Yes, I'm not going to try to suggest that Dan will try harder if you do in a review on, like, Apple Podcasts?
No.
Or Spotify versus some rinky-dink podcast player?
But...
But you will get a review. I'm not going to imply that. Huh. I'm not going to suggest that. Huh. But
now, what's the problem?
Like, just to be safe, you might want to do that. But we will accept reviews from any location.
Please elaborate.
You'll get a haiku out of it. I mean, at least it'll meet the basic functions of a haiku.
But you're describing why it's almost like the visions of Drakean forest dwellers.
All right. So that was thing number one. Thing number two is that we have a voicemail.
I had to know.
I was thinking.
Yeah, we have a voicemail from
They're
Isaac.
They're lying.
So you're being real coy.
Let's listen to our voicemail.
There's some kind of demons.
Let's listen to the voicemail.
There's no such thing as demons.
Before you use up all your sound clips.
Because we are demons and we eat children. We ate them.
They'll eat each other.
Dan's just like, let's fucking do it. Leroy
nice
Jenkins.
Work.
That's right.
All right.
The consequences would have to be better than mass destruction.
Now,
okay.
And now we will listen to the voicemail.
Calm down.
From Isaac.
Okay. Cool.
Hold on.
Wait, is it an email or a voicemail?
It's a voicemail.
Okay.
Not yet, eh?
Well, hold on.
Sabotage.
Oh, no.
Well, Sabotage.
Hologram.
These people were planning to commit some kind of sabotage next week.
I assume you're going to sabotage the plan.
Guys.
All right, there we go.
Sabotage.
Hi, guys. Isaac from Trek365 here.
Hi.
Look, last week I listened to your podcast and got really excited when Jesse from Open Pike Night suggested that there might be, like, podcasting wars happening. Kind of got me thinking about, like, WWE and the storylines that got the weave through.
Mm-hmm.
And I was really excited to hear that that's something that might actually happen now in the podcasting world. So I gave Jesse a call from Open Pike. Not your Jesse. Hi, Jesse, by the way.
Hi.
Anyway, he said that a lot of the things that you like are quite lame, and a lot of the opinions you hold, he holds the opposite opinion too. So I just thought I'd tell you guys that just letting you guys know because I'm a nice guy. Also, while we're on the subject, I never listened to Let's Talk
About Comics. You're making a big mistake.
Right, guys, see you later. Go climb a rock. Where would I stay? And everything else. Love you. Bye.
Thanks, Agamemnon.
Love you. Dan's always complaining about people walking over his audio.
Okay, totally I'm sorry. Over. I walked over the last part of his
it's
thing.
It's all right. He did. I just wanted to call out.
I feel really bad about that.
No, he's getting really good with that. Where would I stay?
He made a Isaac made a reference to he said I never listened to Let's Talk About Trek.
Yeah,
Treks.
I know.
Oh, and I walked right over that.
You walked right over that.
That would have been so great.
And it's a great mention because both Let's Talk About Treks is a kick-ass Star Trek podcast. You should go listen to it.
Can you play the last part of it?
Yeah, I can do that. But also, that's like a reference to the old Don and Mike show, which we all used to listen to.
Yeah.
Where they would get people to say, I never listened to the Don and Mike show.
And we've done that before.
Yeah, I want to apologize to everyone for being a hypocrite and walking all over someone else.
Let's see if I went back far enough.
Also, while we're on the subject, I never listened to Let's Talk About Treks. All right, guys, see you later. Go climb a rock. Where would I stay? And everything else. Love you. Bye.
Where would I stay?
Thanks, Agamus.
I love the love you. Because sometimes the love you comes, when somebody says, love you, comes across as like, I'm a fan of yours. Right. I enjoy your program.
But that sounded...
Affectionate.
Yeah.
Which I...
You've been reading too many of those Dark Storm tales, young fellow.
Dark Storm. I want to read some Dark Storm tales.
I do too. That
sounds tight.
Yes. All right. Okay. Now, we've
completed
that.
You have... a lovely brain.
We should respond to Isaac's message, which is, yes, last week, Jesse from Open Pike Night, another fantastic podcast, and then Isaac from Trek 365, all these kick-ass Star Trek podcasts being mentioned. Jesse last week had a voicemail talking about the possibility of crafting some beefs, WWF-style beefs between podcasts.
You mean beefs like this?
I got a girl back home.
I wonder who won.
I got a girl back home.
I wonder who won.
I got a girl back home.
I wonder who won.
I got a girl back home.
I wonder who won.
I got a girl back home.
I wonder who won.
Like those beefs?
No, not
beats.
Beef.
Beefs.
Oh. Oh.
Beeves.
Beeves. Oh. Sustained antagonism. Mm. That definition of beef.
I saw them burn their bodies. Oh, no. And it's just where they stood.
Thanks, kid.
Totally some strange stuff in this episode. Yeah. But we'll get to that.
We'll get to that. It's beefs. Beefs.
We'll get to
On
that.
The subject of beefs, where's the beef?
Where's the beef? So,
where's
yeah,
beef?
I don't know. You know, like I said last week, the problem is it's hard to have beef with you. We respect these other people too much.
Well, are we going to have a three-way beef between
sounds like that Isaac guy is starting some shit.
Yeah.
He's got to be starting something.
Yeah.
Pretty sure I meant
that. He said that the stuff that I'm into, he's not into. And I was really offended by that.
That's right. And he had different opinions about stuff.
You know, the problem with that is it was such so personal that it really cut deep, man. Mm-hmm. You know? I'm just saying there's got to be a line we draw with these beefs, okay? And I think he crossed it a little bit.
Hey, Jesse.
Hey, Jesse.
Me a moment, but I figured out what Dan was doing. He's very clever. He's, again, it's this recursive business. What he's done is in claiming we've got to limit the beefs, he was actually framing it as a beef.
Exactly.
He was generating beef by pretending to say, well, not pretending, by stating we should not have a beef.
I always have.
That's clever, because what happens is when that is inflicted upon a weaker mind, the weaker mind collapses in confusion.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
I saw them with my own eyes!
Do not tangle with Dan.
I know, right?
He will fuck you up.
The beef.
Mentally.
The beef smith. I'm the beef smith.
Yeah. Okay.
You don't scare me.
Let's talk about this episode. Let's talk about this episode?
I mean, this episode was like, fine, I guess. It just didn't... I think one of the issues I had was they had this whole Kes business that they just didn't really... I was wondering, is there an episode that happens... I don't remember subsequent episodes where we get more Kes powers.
We do.
We do.
Here and there.
The boiling
yeah,
Vulcans.
Yeah, okay, no.
She likes to boil the Vulcans.
No. I take that back. I do remember those episodes, but I didn't see anything that was sort of a direct continuation of what happened here.
I really don't like this stuff either.
Yeah, and
I don't think they should ever give her powers. Right? It's a hat on a hat.
I know.
It's a hat on a hat. She is a 2-year-old elf alien that only lives to 9 years and dates space creeps. She's got enough shit for her character to deal with to be interesting.
She's got weird ears.
I think it's a classic example.
Fucked up ass hair.
Please elaborate.
Hey, don't hold anything back, Jesse.
Have a confection bar and calm down.
This is like the beginning of her slowly going mad.
Yeah, so...
Well, this is the beginning of the show.
Exactly.
But
you know what I'm saying? Like, why they thought they needed to add something to her to make her more interesting, I guess. But it never made it more interesting.
Yeah,
it made it less interesting somehow.
And as far as like this, as contained as this episode was, it was just kind of confusing. Now, once again, I guess they do approach it later, so it's supposed to be kind of like this is something we're going to have grow over time.
Yes.
But it just kind of always felt a little disconnected or something. Like, it's just...
I agree. And unnecessary.
And at the end of the...
Disconnected and unnecessary.
So you have Neelix, who's like basically like pulling the move you shouldn't be. It's like, well, it's just... You must have been imagining it. It's like, oh, motherfucker. Don't say that shit.
Neelix is like his extra assholiness.
Yeah.
He always says the wrong thing.
I know, and
he's well-meaning. I'll buy that, but he gets a little
better as the show goes on. But this is way early on, and he's a piece of shit.
And the doctor, he was kind of half right, I guess, because he was kind of dismissive. He just said, what did he say? He said, oh, your brain's just kind of doing some random flex. But it's coming out as nonsense garbage you're inventing. It's all in your head. You're crazy and weird. You know, basically, is what the doctor said in a nicer way. You know, that's not a nice thing to say to somebody. But the point being is the doctor was a little bit more correct in Neelix. He was incorrect in that it wasn't just some random gunk. It was related to something. But when he referenced, I guess you have these sort of like emerging powers or whatever. Like, emergent. I guess he was kind of half right in a way, because like they weren't random, but it wasn't that she was just flexing her brain because she was gaining powers, but like, I don't know. He was just observing that you may be getting some powers into your brain, except he just dismissed that there was any value to them, basically.
Yeah.
And he just said, you know, take two of these and call me in the morning was the joke on that one.
Yeah. It was a good joke.
It was a good joke.
Yeah. I did enjoy the early version of the doctor who's all grumpy, doesn't have his protocols yet for being able to turn himself on and off, etc.
He doesn't really know people yet.
Yes.
He keeps turning off.
So that's all kind of fun. But I agree on the Kes stuff, and it was acute in this episode. It wasn't cute. It was acute.
It was acute.
Yeah,
it was acute because the character
obtuse.
The character has enjoyable bits to the character in Caretaker.
Shh, now.
Later in
Calm
the first
down.
Season. There's interesting stuff there. I just think that the adding magic powers, it's just, it didn't fit the character ultimately. And
it just kind of came out every once in a while to sort of give the plot some movement or something.
Yeah, well, and I think that's what I didn't like about that, because it didn't feel natural.
It just felt synthetic.
First of all, the other comment I was going to make, and we've mentioned it before, but one issue that Voyager had, as much as I love Voyager, one sort of consistent issue among a few was its extreme reliance on technobabble.
Yeah.
Like
this episode was solved through technobabble.
Yeah.
If you tried to follow along with what they were doing, you just have to be like, okay, they got the thing that makes that happen. Don't worry about all the words they're saying. It doesn't matter. Right. When they press the button, a thing happens on the screen. That's all you need to get. But they spend so much time explaining it.
Exactly. Unnecessary time explaining it. And then the relationship to Kes is that Kes is doing all this sensing whatever through time or whatever, Guinan-ish type stuff, except unlike when Guinan in Yesterday's Enterprise sensed that there was a problem in the timeline, which was all mysterious, and it was a shortcut to telling like a really interesting story and providing some information that would be the impetus for telling this story. So it had a very important plot point there. Kes, this entire episode, nothing Kes does really was useful.
Because only Janeway figures it out at the very end what's happening.
Yeah,
like, how can you feel their presence?
And the whole like scanning stuff is perfectly fine. And as a writer, you could have done all this without Kes and just done just made the scanner slightly better.
So I guess maybe they were trying to like introduce magic powers, but I guess it's
because
just,
they wanted her to do something. I guess
they wanted her to have a role in the episode somehow, which wasn't needed. So it's hard to tell if they just gave her magic powers to give her a big role in this episode or in the whole series, or they just didn't follow through enough with the magic powers that they decided to go with. But it was all kind of weirdly sort of like kind of ambiguous and not really well explained. I'll say at the end of the big loser in this episode here though is Kes, because at the end of the episode,
I know, everyone's just like, what's up?
Like, so
what's up with Kes?
Like, what? So was she left permanently damaged by the fact that she imagined people burning to death and nobody believed her?
This
at
is
the end
beginning. This is the beginning of her descent into madness,
right? So at the end of the episode, like, so because we see her like initially at the beginning of the episode when she senses all that shit happening, and you know, she's like,
I saw them burn.
She's probably thinking about she saw like Janeway burn.
That's just where they stood.
It's funny because she's doing such a good job.
Give me the bag.
Delete the wife.
Well, what I was saying is that we see her at the beginning, like, this is really stressing her out. It sucks for her, understandably, right?
Yes.
But at the end of the episode,
witnessing a holocaust.
When we rewatch, when the end of the episode happens and we're sort of redoing the beginning of it, like, this scene where Kes walks onto the bridge, this would have happened after she had that breakdown, right? But you notice when she came onto the bridge and Janeway was like, looks like there's no one there. Like, she was just like, oh, LOL, haha. Like, Kes was like, oh, cool. You know, like, suddenly she's not stressed out anymore. Yeah. Suddenly she's just like, oh, haha, I guess everything's all good then. Even though she just freaked out and saw some horrendous shit like minutes earlier, the episode ends with that in her brain. Nobody believes her. She's got this memory that's unresolved in her head. Yeah. There's no closure, but she's like putting on this face, like, oh,
yeah.
You know?
Well, what they were doing was, again, the direct equivalent to in yesterday's Enterprise at the end when everything's resolved. It's also, like, this episode, it's a reset button, and Guinan comes in and does a sort of double check and smiles coyly, and we're like, okay, Guinan understands that something was weird, and now it's back to normal. But again, it worked in that episode because, I don't know, it was set up differently, it was more subtle, and it wasn't as incongruous or incongruous. Do you have a preferred pronunciation?
Congruity, incongruity,
incongruous,
incongruity,
incongruous.
I'm fine with either one.
Yeah.
That's a good point.
No, it can be either way. Yeah, I think, but incongruous, there's nothing hard about saying that.
So at the end, they did the thing where, like I just said, where they replayed the end at the beginning, like we're just talking about now. I always, whenever they do that, I always want to know, did they just replay the same sounds or did they re-record them? And so I recorded a couple of them. So
I love this. This is one of my favorite things when Dan does the overlapping sound clips and we attempt to suss out whether or not they are the same or acted differently.
Right.
Now, before Dan plays it, part of the fun of this is that Dan's gotten to do this a number of times, and a lot of times it's like, ooh, it's so close, but I'm not 100% sure. But what's perhaps the most fun is when we build it all up and then Dan plays it, and it's very obviously two different sound clips. I have no idea what's going to happen this time, if it's going to be one of the close ones or one of the far away, but no matter what, it's going to be great.
I'm wrapped.
I think there might be something. It could be cool. It could be lame. I mean, it might be either one. It might be neither. It might be one.
I mean,
or
I
the
just
other.
Argued they would both be cool.
Yeah. Yeah. So either way, it's always cool.
I can't wait.
Either way, it's gonna be cool.
Well, apparently you can, Jesse.
Yeah.
I guess I'm gonna have to. So speed it up.
Okay.
Dude.
Sorry. Okay. So I'm gonna play the sound from the first time they did it, and then the last time they did it on the repeat part. So here's Harry.
Okay. I hope so.
Very obviously the same, right? Those were two different ones.
I hope so.
Sounds
I hope so.
Sounds the same?
Mostly, yeah.
Sounds
I hope
same.
So. Yeah, I hope so.
You're trying to trick me, man.
Okay, here's another one.
Harry.
To me, it sounds like they're the same, but they play different background noises.
A little different, yeah.
So the music is different.
Harry.
It's different music the second one.
It does sound.
Is that the second time you see it for the second one?
The music is on the second time. Yeah.
Harry.
Wait a second.
Harry.
Yeah.
I think it's the same.
Although I caught what you were saying.
They just make it sound slightly different.
Very last.
Yeah, the very last one.
Like, there's like a scoopy. There's like a scoopy.
There's a scoopy.
Yeah. But it might, that might be. Yeah,
that might be because it's interesting because like the sounds around it can change. How
sounds
that,
around?
Sounds around. Pounds around. Okay.
The sounds around.
I'm going to zip through these other ones because I think these are.
Take your time.
So here's another one.
Let her go.
Sounds the same
to me.
Okay, here's another one.
I never broke any record.
Okay, do you think that's
pretty?
Sounds...
I mean, it's really close as far as I can tell.
Now, I'm going to play this one. It's going to be the same as this, except there's another one after it.
Okay.
So here's this one.
I never broke any record.
And who are they going to check it with?
I never broke any record. And who are they going to check it with?
That was different.
Everything else was the same. And it's.
And who are they going to check it with? And who are they going to check it with? And who are they going to check it with? And who are they going to check it
so
with?
So at some point they diverged. Yeah. At some point they diverged. But it was weird. Like that when they did the exact point.
And you don't just have the whole clip of either?
I was thinking about doing that, but then I didn't. All right. During a break, I could probably whip it together.
See, that
right
was a really good first time listener.
Whip it good.
Excellent demonstration of Dan.
Yeah, actually, during break, I could whip together real all quick right. just those two sounds if you cared later.
Speaking of breaks, just about that time.
Yeah, I thought so too.
Just about that time.
Oh, there was a speaking of pronunciations.
We're from Kalto Province,
and
he told me four people came today from Kalto.
Kalto and Kalto.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, Kalto that's just how she says things.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. How do you know the kid's not wrong? Latika.
Yeah.
That kid's always wrong, dude.
Yeah.
Well, we'll talk about that child and so much more when we return from the break.
Bye.
Be right back.
I'll be back for you.
I'll be back. I'll be back.
I'll be back.
I'll be back.
I'll be back.
Explosion.
And we're back.
I'm back.
You ready?
I suggest we proceed.
All right, so that was actually an uncharacteristically long break as we wrestled with a few
things.
We
actually took a real break for real.
Yeah.
So when you played the Arnold Schwarzenegger I'm Back, it caught me off guard because it had actually been some number of minutes since
it
we
meant
had
something.
Last heard your thing.
Not oh, to, yeah, you'd forgotten. To, yeah, the joke was ruined
not,
for us.
Not to spoil the secret, but that often our breaks are quite brief.
Oh, no.
In this case,
They're kind of
it's quite long.
Artificial.
It's just a crazy idea.
Okay, well, now, during the break, as
okay,
promised,
let's do it.
Dan has pulled together the audio of the interaction between
pull it together, man.
Tom and Harry.
You're a greedy son of a bitch.
I do not know how that applies to this
conversation. Because based upon, as promised, we're giving people things. And they're greedy and they need it from us.
Yeah, you're saying the audience is greedy.
Yes.
because we offered them something.
He's being mean to
And now we're providing it to them.
Yeah.
Before we even have any feedback from the audience, given that this is not live.
We're dangerous.
Yeah, well, all right.
We should do a live one.
I would like to do a live one. I think it'd be fun.
Chief O'Brien. Yeah,
exactly.
We'll do that at some
B'Elanna's
point.
B'Elanna's on it.
Indeed.
B'Elanna's on it.
But before we rent out concert space in order to do a live episode of the It's Got Star Trek podcast in front of
a
studio audience.
Your cranium call.
We have to play the clip that Dan put together. It took great effort.
Yeah. See, I'm used to exporting by each track per file, but I had to export each track as one file.
I had to export.
I had to export
normally each track.
I export as many files as there are tracks.
Notepad plus.
Hey, Dan.
If I could do it in Notepad plus plus, I would. But normally, I export in multiple files, a number of files equal to the number of tracks. But in this is a many to one relationship that I had to do this time. I had to export many tracks into one file, used to it.
Are you a nerdophobe?
No, well,
you're being nerdophobe.
You ever heard Nardwar?
No. Nardwar.
He like gives interviews. His songs are like Nardwar.
Nardwar. With this artist.
It sounds good.
And then he interviews people, and his deal is he always like knows like way too much information about him, and they're all freaked out by it.
So this audio recording that we've talked
So what we haven't explained exactly what it is.
Again, remember, Dan, it has not been as long for the audience as it has been for us.
Okay, well,
they just heard you playing clips. From Harry and Tom interacting,
right?
Talking, planning some sexual assault of some sort.
That was creepy.
And it happened at the beginning of the episode, and it happened at the end of the episode.
Some sort of sisters.
And now we're playing them on top of each other.
Dan played the audio and found that the bulk of the audio was clearly identical, replayed, except for one little part. And now, because we don't know where they diverged, Dan has pieced together those two tracks, layered them on top of each other, and boom! He's about to play it.
And you
he's
going
to play it soon.
If it diverges, you be the judge of when, where, and if.
All right.
All right, here we go.
Harry, 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 Harry. You really think she's going to wait for you? I hope so. Let her go. Let her have a husband and kids and a good life. Well, you and I have the Delaney sisters. I told you, I need to run a translator diagnostic. You need to run a self-diagnostic. Look, they come as a pair. It's a double date or no date. Come on. I told them all about you. What did you tell them about me? Well, for one thing, how you broke the single pilot speed record at the Academy. Record.
Robot.
I never broke any record. And who are they going to check it with? Chakotay to Captain Janeway.
There we go.
Yeah.
It was just the very end.
Yeah. A little bit out of phase.
Report!
We're at the leading edge of a shockwave.
Perhaps that's just comes with when you rectify a time loop.
Yeah, there's a little bit of
there's just a little bit
of the same. But yeah, when you do a time loop, part of it is identical, but then the very end of that conversation, you say the same things, but you say it differently.
Right.
At first, you'd say it exactly the same, but then it's like you say the same thing but differently.
That's how you know you fixed it.
Yeah, so you know you got in a time loop and you fixed it. Yeah. Right.
That was fun. And it reminded us to discuss the Tom is horny bit.
Oh, yeah.
The early season, yeah. Tom is a criminal.
Mm-hmm. He was court-martialed.
Imprisoned in New Zealand
of all fucking places.
And then he was taken out of prison on special assignment by Captain Janeway, who needed a crackerjack pilot to go on this mission to chase down some wily Maquis.
I don't understand.
Little did she know
the very same Maquis
that they would be hurled across the galaxy and she'd be cooped up with this womanizing fella who apparently has a gal in every port, even though he was in prison. So it's a little confusing because did he have girlfriends in prison? I'm not sure exactly what options are. Right? That's a thing, right?
No one
who knows
believes those stories.
Well, yeah.
At first, I wasn't sure whether it was going to be a double date or he was just trying to fix up Harry Kim with like two chicks.
Oh, it's a double date.
Wow. Yeah.
Clearly. I know. It became apparent once I paid attention to what he was actually saying. Yeah, but like at first, it was like, what's going on here?
He wouldn't do anything at that point in the show, he wouldn't do anything that didn't directly benefit him.
I agree.
Yeah, totally.
Totally.
Yeah.
Although it was an odd scenario to present.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because, like, let's lie to them.
No. Listen, even before that, like even before the very sitcom-y late 80s, early 90s sexual politics.
Saved by the Bell or something.
Yeah. Before all of that, just the scenario that they've set up. In the 24th century, in Gene Roddenberry's Star Trek.
Gene,
ostensibly.
Calm down.
In this whole setup,
ostensibly
the scenario
Gene.
They've set up there's sisters.
They're sisters
that have been posted to the same ship.
Are they twins or are they just sisters?
It sort of seems like they might be, but you'd think they'd say the Delaney twins. So now that's a clue. The omission of the assertion that they're twins suggests they are not twins, which means it's an older and a younger sister who are posted to the same ship. And,
it created fractures
in time.
And most importantly, have a peculiar trait, which is that they will only date pairs of men.
Right,
Are they perhaps...
Now, what's the problem?
Conjoined? Do you think they're conjoined sisters? I think they might be conjoined. Because
I don't think so.
Why would they have a rule that you've got to bring a date for my sister? I mean, yes, I understand that in the 1950s, that might have been a thing on a 1950s television program, and maybe that's where they're getting it, since so much of Tom Paris's character ends up being built
maybe it's
around
just
his
easier
weird
to break,
obsession.
But maybe it's just easier to break the ice.
He
when
likes
you have,
pick up.
Yeah, you know, you have wing persons.
No, okay, I get it, but I don't know. To me, it's like these are adult Starfleet officers, presumably.
Yes, they're adults, right?
And it's like, okay,
I don't know about.
No, yeah, this is
I'm going to hang out with my sister on a date.
This is not adult behavior, you know, like adult on a starship behavior. Yeah,
it's either they're conjoined sisters or
no,
we don't know. Are they at this stage? We don't know. Are they an alien race? That this is part of their culture or something. It would be interesting.
Well, their name is Delaney. It's
but it comes off as a very old school, childish. There's childish sexuality.
Absolutely.
It's not even bro-ish.
It's very regressive.
It was regressive and infantile.
Yes.
And yes, Paris does eventually graduate from this. And yes, it's still funny. Like, totally. It is funny. It's amusing. But the problem is when you sort of examine the context, it's like Paris is all like trying to manipulate this guy, this poor guy, Harry Kim. And as Dan mentioned, making him lie.
They just got lost in the Delta Quadrant. It just happened.
And yes, why wouldn't they have that information in the computer about what the records that Harry did or did not accomplish in Starfleet Academy?
Yeah.
I don't know. Very old school vibes. That sort of stuck out in this episode.
Don't listen to the guy that got court-martialed.
Yeah. Now, that stuff aside, otherwise... I really enjoyed Tom Paris in this episode, and partly because of that insane child with that crazy scream. Can you play? What the fuck was that?
I know.
Where did that come from? What did the director say? Well, I want to know. This was directed by, oh man, why am I, the name is slipping, but he's one of the people who's directed a million Star Trek episodes.
I'm going to look at it.
I want to say Les Grossman, but
it's,
it wasn't.
It's often the case in like a movie or a show where there's some kind of like alien or some unusual.
Les Landau.
Yes, Les Landau.
Some unusual kind of character, and like the only one that can see them for their true self is some poor kid who gets traumatized, and no one's going to believe the kid.
It's a trope, and I like that. It's just, what did Les Landau say to this kid, and then what did he say to Jennifer Lien playing Kes to get those performances out? This kid screaming, and then Kes's, you know, horrific.
So that
I saw them burn their bodies.
Like he got really good performances out of these people.
That kid was in like the Dumb and Dumber movies.
Oh, really? Was he?
And
was
he the?
We're not sure yet.
He was in that TV show Get a Life. Also,
I did not recognize
with Chris Elliott.
Yeah, with Chris
I watched
Elliott.
That show. Was he the kid who had the bird in Dumb and Dumber?
He was
the headless bird.
A pretty bird.
He was.
Was he the kid with the visually impaired kid?
He was Billy in 4C.
Oh, Billy!
And then he was in the sequel at age 30.
I believe he was the child.
Wait a minute.
They gave a bird to that had no head on it, or the head taped on.
Now he lives in Rancho Cucamonga, California.
Yeah. Is that a real place? It always sounds
Rancho
like
Rancho Cucamonga. I know.
I know it's a real place,
but California sounds made up.
It does sound a little made up.
Frank Zappa lived there.
Dan, you were saying?
For some reason, that made me think of that when they first beamed down to the planet, that you know, they were the establishing shot of that building. I couldn't tell if that was a strip mall or a government.
Jesse
a government,
can tell you what it
or
is.
Or a government building.
Jesse's going to tell you what it is right now.
The Tillman Water Reclamation Plant.
Which is interesting because I have an ancestor named Tillman and my parents' cat is named Tillman.
But they've filmed several Star Trek episodes.
Wait, I'm sorry.
Jesse, you got to wait for a second.
Yeah,
wait.
I'm waiting.
First of all, Patrick, how did you know Jesse had the answer? And Jesse, how did you have that answer?
I mentioned it before we started the podcast.
It was a matte painting. Okay. Did you? What'd you say?
I said the Tillman Water Reclamation.
he said exactly
But
that.
We looked at a matte painting. It was a matte painting.
No, there was some matte painting, and in addition, there was also an actual place.
Whenever they
I believe
go to
the
like,
matte painting
like,
was like an extension.
So wait, Jesse, did you read something that said that matte painting was actually representative of the Tillman Water Reclamation?
Jesse reads stuff.
I read up
notes.
On the production of the episodes,
and it said. That
Jesse regularly provides facts
not a
and
pain.
Figures
it
about
was,
the
it was on
production.
Location.
But like it looked like it was trash, like out of a zombie movie.
Like this was the one where they used like the inside.
Are
of
you
the building.
Sure were you sure? Okay, maybe the inside of the building was. Yeah. I'm talking about the outside shot.
Yeah, there's extensions out there. I think it's building with extensions.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, that could be.
So what building was it supposed to be for the aliens?
It was just a place to chill out.
I
was just all I was trying to say is that I couldn't tell if it was supposed to be a strip mall or a government building. That's all.
All right.
In their world, not our world. Okay. But that is interesting that about in our world it's a water reclamation.
I'm just saying, okay, yeah, like they use it. They've shot various movies there. Like Rising Sun, they use that.
I like Rising Sun.
Yeah, totally.
Rising Sun's a great book,
but,
by the way.
Very like that. Whenever they do like the Starfleet Academy and like the gardens at the start, that's the same place. The Justice episode of TNG that we spoke about recently, that was filmed there. This is one of the ones where they it seems like they used the inside of the plant, and because you don't see any like gardens and stuff.
You wanted the truth. All right, here's the truth.
Whenever I think of Rising Sun, I always think of the scene where like they show the power of video editing and they like pull like it's two people talking. Is Wesley Snipes in that movie?
Yes.
Yeah, Wesley Snipes is one of the
totally.
And like isn't there a scene where they like he's like, "You look what you can do with video." So keep in mind this was the 90s.
Yeah.
And when was the book written?
It's an old movie.
The book was written in early 90s?
Yeah.
Way early.
Yeah.
So
it was after Jurassic
Park.
And
it showed this video and it showed him casually highlighting this head on this video and moving it over and switching their heads on the video, and I was just like, you can't do that. You can't do that just like that. But you can now.
Now you can.
Yeah, you can do that.
It's a fake.
Back then, I was like, whoa.
Yeah, it had Sean Connery in it as well.
Hell yeah, dude.
The book is better than the movie.
Yes, so is Fear, and so is Congo. Yeah. All examples of the books.
13th Warrior.
Yeah. Well, the 13th Warrior in the book and the movie
are
very
cool.
They're very different.
Neat.
They're different.
Calm down.
Nito.
All right. That was your Crichton Minute.
Crichton
and
Minute.
Now we're back to Time and Again.
So is this supposed to be drawing parallels with nuclear energy or something like that? Because they kept talking about, like, well,
did
it's
a big... Did you say nuclear?
I did not say
he
nuclear.
Did not, he did not say
I'm
nuclear.
I'm just playing. I'm
You're
sorry.
Just fucking with
I
me.
I was totally ruining everything.
I'm not 100% no, sure what because, the message well, was trying
no,
to be.
No, because they were talking about, like...
It was analogous.
Because they were talking about, like, how it's this great power source, and then someone else was like... they're not using it for... Because Janeway's like, I don't think there was a war. I think that this is what they use for their power. And it's running through their system. And it exploded, you know? So it kind of made it kind of seem like it was...
It was an analogy, I think.
I don't know if they were necessarily trying to be that heavy-handed about it.
No, lightly. Lightly handed.
Yeah.
Lightly
I mean, handed. Well, I don't know. That's the easiest analogy to make. It's problematic. I think it's an upsetting and problematic analogy in real world. It takes things to the extreme.
It's something that's suggestive of nuclear technology.
But
nuclear.
You can insert different things in there. You could.
Yeah, you can.
Well, I mean, like, I don't know, global warming or something. You could imagine various things where it's we're doing something that we think is helping us, but is actually hurting us.
We're killing the coral.
So there's a lot of things that could potentially fit into
I want to know about the rotations, intervals, and fractions of the timepiece.
Did you suss out that at all? I gave a brief moment to trying to think about the math, and I realized
they got some weird
I don't know. I don't know the circumference and size of this planet.
Exactly.
I don't know the orbital periods. I don't know any of this shit.
They got moons.
I don't really know what to say here. They seem to figure it out pretty quick. Mm-hmm. But I think that's
they're in Starfleet.
I think the writers gave them the answer. If you ask me.
Okay. One thing is this backwards explosion comparable to that anomaly in All Good Things? Remember? Because it's a backwards... Because at one point she was like, most explosions happen forward in time. Shockwaves from most explosions dissipate into the future, but we're speculating based on part on what Paris told us he saw, that these dissipate in the past. Mm-hmm. So that's like, it's like the anomaly in All Good Things that goes... Except that anomaly...
It is weird.
That anomaly in All Good Things was goofy because apparently it grew in reverse in time, but they were able to watch it grow... There was a grace period where, like...
A paradox!
Like, no, when... remember when the... When they,
I mean, that's the whole thing.
The
whole punchline.
When in All Good Things, the if in All Good Things, that anomaly was moving back, growing backwards in time. So at the point of inception, if you're moving forward in time, you would have never seen the anomaly, right? Yeah. It would have been given birth and immediately started growing in the past. But they were able to come back and look at it. And wasn't it even a little bigger in future time? Like there was a grace period where it was growing in future time, but it also grew in reverse time. But it just grew a little bit in future time and then it shrank back. Don't you remember that in All Good Things? How like it wasn't fully... A reverso anomaly?
Yeah. Both Jesse and I are nodding and verbally saying, yes, we remember that.
But I'm just saying, like...
I don't know what he's going to do.
Well, no, I know. Is that the effect I have on you? You think, like, if you don't respond the way I want you to, I'm going to, like, fucking knock you in the head?
It's a little scary. Jesse is a little worried here. He has to sit closer.
But I mean, like, no one had a problem with that? No one had a problem with that anomaly in All Good Things? How it grew a little bit forward in time for a bit before it went backwards?
I don't know the right answer to this.
Because when something goes backwards in time, the moment of birth, you would never see the birth because it's immediately, you're going forward and it's going backwards. But you could see their birth. They were able to see it while they were going forward in time. You know what I'm talking about? Like,
I think so.
I think the idea, Dan, I think the intention in All Good Things, which, by the way, All Good Things must come to an end. I think the intention of All Good Things was precisely that it was incomprehensible and that you couldn't logic your way through it because of the inherent paradox. And to answer
I don't know. I think that was just a mistake in the writing. Right. I think that was just a mistake in the writing.
All right, Tim Robbins.
I know. That didn't sound like him, didn't it? I was thinking, I didn't even try to do that. I just immediately, well, I don't know. It doesn't sound like a good idea.
But to answer your original question before you took us down this alternate path, this other alternate timeline, was yes, I do think it's similar. This episode was produced around the same time as not too distant in time from All Good Things. So perhaps that was an influence.
Speaking of getting walloped, how about that hit Janeway took at that one point in the episode?
Yeah, she got socked
with that rifle.
She got fucked up.
That was brutal, man. Yeah, I watched that like 3 or 4 times. I was like, oh, I wasn't like laughing. I was just like, oh my god.
No, it was rough,
like it looked like it hurt. And they did a good job.
And they were trying to sock people with that double like. Double punch business.
Yeah, that Paris did the double punch. Yeah. Double axe.
Oh, oh no, what happened, dude?
My shit fell over.
What the fuck got fucked up. What have you done?
What have I done? I haven't stopped doing. Mm. Yeah, so like she got hit. What's up with those they just had pistols that made zap noises. Yeah,
they looked like Walther PPK, slightly modified.
Right, but then they made zappy noises like they were laser guns, but they weren't. But the other point,
very confusing.
The other question I wanted to bring up is the approach of the Prime Directive in this episode. It's similar to the episode with Worf and Polly when they go to that planet.
Yeah.
I brought this up. I brought this up in a previous episode where Patrick thinks that Homeward is the incorrect implementation of the Prime Directive on the part of Jean-Luc Picard. Yeah,
doesn't make any sense.
Do you think that Janeway is also equally flawed in this one? Because at first, because she's like, because even Paris was like, Paris was like, we can't let these people die. Fuck the Prime Directive. Like that's, you know, it's not meant for that. Yeah. You know, he even had a line about this.
The consequences would have to be better than mass destruction.
You know, and so, but Janeway's like, no, gotta let him die. So.
I agree. Yes,
with Paris.
With Paris, yeah.
You asshole. You believe with that. agree. Believe with. Agree with.
You
agree with that cat, Paris.
Hey, he has many opinions that I don't agree with. In this particular case, I do agree with Paris. And you
think Janeway's just as flawed as Picard in their reasoning?
Yeah, but again, I didn't even think of it. You know, I'm glad you pointed it out because it really didn't even occur to me on this most recent watch through. Partly because I think some of this I just wasn't paying attention to. Yeah. I was trying to.
Oh my God, the scene where Harry Kim and B'Elanna Torres were explaining what was going on was so boring. Yeah. It was like the most boring felt like I was, even when in TNG, when they're sitting at the conference table, it doesn't feel like I'm in an office like meeting. That felt like I was at a meeting at work. It sucked.
Yeah.
Because
they got gold shirts on and they're talking.
Well, think about cause and effect. And cause and effect has the famous scene in the ready room or the conference room where Geordi is explaining what's going on.
For what?
It's a sci-fi idea, but they don't spend it all talking about technobabble and gibberish. And I love technobabble. Technobabble is a great literary tool and is fun for world
building. When used correctly.
Exactly. So what Geordi does is he gets up and he says a thing. He's like, we're in a time loop because of some tachyon, whatever.
Right.
So there's a little bit of technobabble to justify the thing. But the concept is what drives it. It's a time loop. You can understand that. And then they go through and explain, like, what does that mean? What are the implications? And thus, you can craft a wonderful story around it.
This reveals itself as a time loop at the end. Or are you just supposed to, like, sort of assume that it's a time loop? But it still doesn't. It's still not really clear what's happening.
It's not entirely clear, and it is a cool concept though. The idea of coming to a planet and like flipping back and forth, and like the day before a catastrophic event. That's a fantastic idea.
But did Paris miss like that class in temporal physics because he was like, wait a minute, something in the future can affect the past? Yeah. Like, isn't that like 101?
Yeah, I know. No?
But
I
mean, he was in that jail that whole time.
From a literary sense, he's being the audience
obviously. I'm not. See, when I say
in universe, Paris is a pilot. He's not the most pilot.
Yeah, something.
And I'm not trying to insult
pilots. What's a pilot?
Well, a pilot, he's the guy who sits in the front of the plane, but that's not important. Not right like
you don't scare me.
Anyways, when I bring up complaints like that, yes, I'm often referring to the in-universe reason, the out-of-universe reason.
In-universe reason must be that we're meant to think he's kind of stupid.
Like, there was another thing that Harry was explaining about, like, when your badges break. We don't need those stinking badges.
Badges.
Badges? I saw that movie with that line, because originally it's...
Was that the
UHF was where I first saw that. Where it's like badgers.
Yeah,
we don't need no stinking badgers.
But then Blazing Saddles.
No, that was UHF.
Well, yeah. UHF
but badges
does the funny.
But, no, but badges is that's actually from an old Western. Yes. Not Blazing.
It's like some kind of Western.
Some kind of Western. He's just like, and he says it. He doesn't like exclaim it like the character in UHF does. I forget his name. He's just like badges. We don't need no stinking badges. He just says it like that.
Yeah,
but it's
yeah. Evolves over time.
Does he say like the Minutemen?
Huh?
There's that Minutemen song where they're like badges. Boom, boom, boom.
Oh, is
boom,
there? Boom, boom.
We don't need no badges.
Is that off of Double Nickels on the Dime, or is that one of the post-merch?
I think it's a different one. Yeah, it's like a...
Is it post-merch or merch?
It's some...
Post-merch?
Merch.
Merch. Why did I think it was merch?
Merch. No, it's merch, I think. Yeah. Yeah, it's merch.
It's one of them. Anyways.
What the fuck are you guys talking about?
I'm talking about the Minutemen.
All I know is They Might Be Giants and Weird Al Yankovic.
Some people might know what we're talking about. It doesn't matter. We're going to go on with
it. So anyway, Harry was saying that the com badges were designed to self-activate when the casing is destroyed to help searchers locate victims. Once again, that was for the audience, because why was he explaining how com badges work to his fellow officers?
Yeah. Exposition.
Yeah, exactly. He goes, oh, I can't even find it. Oh, man.
Your search foo is
failing. The com. Okay. The com badge. I read the period in com, which was short for communication. So I was like, the com. Badge is designed. No. The com badge is designed to self-activate when the casing is destroyed to help searchers locate victims. Yeah, that's what I just said. Anyway, Kim said that. And there was like Torres and Tuvok were there. Like, you don't need to explain to them how this shit works. But that's, once again, yeah, it's for the audience, but you know, they could have done it a little. They get him well. It's fine. I'm not gonna. You know. When is it okay? When is it not okay? When's it okay? Sometimes it's okay.
Not entirely sure what you're talking about, but
you know how like he explained how com badges worked.
Oh yeah, the exposition. Yeah,
it's like, why would he say that in that scenario with two experts around?
Don't complain too much about that stuff, but yeah, it is. Sometimes it's a little.
I think it's more along the lines of that's an order where it's a little lazy. I think
it's. But it stands out more in an episode that has other annoying things happening.
I don't know how else you would explain it. I don't know. And I'm not a writer, so I don't want to like shit on like what they do. Cause like, it's like, it's the person who doesn't know how to do the thing that complains the most about that thing. You know, it's like, I'm no expert writer, so it's easy for me to be like, well, they should have done this. But, I don't know any other good way they could have to explain to the audience how that scene was working.
Well,
so.
Wait, I have a suggestion, which is, I think this is another example, and I could be wrong.
Yeah, I could be wrong.
And you can write in. At feedback@itsgotstartrek.com.
What is it?
Subject line, Patrick's wrong this time.
Oh.
Subject line, one of the rare occasions in which Patrick is wrong about something.
Calm down.
If that happens to be the case. But the way I would correct this is simply not even mentioning it, because who cares? The scanners found it. They're adding information that's not necessary. They're adding a criteria that's unnecessary.
You're making a big mistake.
It's the same thing with the Kess thing. They don't need Kess to have magic psychic time powers.
They saw them burn.
They could.
Yeah.
If they wished, simply just say the scanners find this stuff. It simplifies the story. They don't need to add it. And in this case, Harry all going off about like, well, you see, what happens is, why is that necessary? Why not just say like, yeah, the scanner found the thing. Here it is. It's on the floor. It's got scanned.
Mm-hmm. You've been scanned.
You don't need to add this extra business. It's unnecessary.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I got a little worked up on that because it.
Calm down.
I will. I'll try to do my best because, you know, there's no better way to get people to calm down.
Is it about time, though, right?
Than to tell them to calm down.
Shh, now. Yeah. Calm down.
Jesse's ready for a break. Jesse, you have to go pee-pee.
You saved my life.
No. I was just like, I was watching the clock, and we're so like, the way we do the clock now, it's all like these 30-minute increments. Know, so like, it's all like nice and tight.
Yeah,
it's like,
nice and
I know. I know when the break's coming.
Ready for break.
Well, speaking of the Prime Directive, I know we got other breaks soon. Time they use their Polaric Generator, they open a subspace fracture.
Yeah.
But it seems to permanently damage subspace because they can't do it in the same spot twice. They are damaging subspace. That's got to break the Prime Directive a little bit, I would imagine.
If you need problematic to do stuff.
I mean, you need, it's like
Prime Directive problematic.
When you permanently destroy a part of the universe, that's pretty heavy, even if it's a little,
bit. Subspace is kind of iffy, man.
I mean, yes, they did give up on the whole warp drive wears out
exactly,
space
that's
thing,
exactly
but,
what I'm thinking. Yeah. It's whatever the plot dictates.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying, though, is I know whatever the plot dictates, but I'm saying why, that's what I'm just saying. Like, I know it's what the plot dictates,
what
but that
are
doesn't
you saying?
That doesn't make it right, man.
Doesn't make it right.
Yeah. Right. When we get back from the break, we will conclude our discussion of Time and Again. Be right back.
I might stop back later, if there's time.
We're counting on it.
We're back.
What?
We're laughing.
Are we back?
We're laughing, so we're back, apparently.
We're all friends now, aren't we?
There we go.
Laughing.
I know, you started laughing. That made me laugh.
It's as though I can sense the people who were here.
It's Jesse.
Yeah.
And Patrick.
I'm here. You're here.
And Dan.
And me here.
You're Dan.
Hey, Dan. Hey, Dan, what are you doing?
Hey, Dan, I do have a question. And Jesse,
I got a question.
Feel free to answer this.
Hey, Jesse.
Hey, what?
Hey, Jesse.
What are you doing?
What are you doing?
Oh, no. Okay.
What do you do?
I want to know whether the gentleman, who I guess was some sort of, I don't know, security officer or whatever.
Oh, the guard?
The guard who was dealing with the kid.
The guard. He was one of my favorite characters.
He was
in this
a cool, goofy-ass character. Did he suggest...
Oh, sorry about that.
Did he suggest to that child, to Ricky Tikki Tavi, what was the kid's name? TikTok?
Latika.
Latika.
So Latika...
The guard, Jerry Spicer.
Who I thought was a charming young actor who I thought did a good job.
Brady
even
Bloom.
The scream kind of freaked me out. Did the guard suggest to the child that he eat a confection bar or a confession bar?
Ooh.
Either one would be interesting. That? The latter would be way more interesting.
Confession bar, is that like a communion wafer?
Yeah, I don't know.
Well, I know what I think, but here's the line.
Yeah.
Have a confection bar and calm down.
See, is it like a Kit Kat or a Snickers?
There it sounds like a confection bar.
Pretty sure it's confection. Although confession bar is better.
Well, when I was watching it sounded like confession bar.
A zero bar?
Because that sounds more sinister. Yes. It's like go eat that bar that's going to cause you guilt and pain and stuff and something like
particularly
that.
Particularly in the context where he's being nice to the child, he's being relatively gentle to the child, but he is also accusing the child of either purposefully or because of an overactive imagination, accusing some perfectly pleasant-looking travelers of being demons.
You've been reading too many of those Dark Storm tales, young fellow.
Yeah, and yeah, we said it already, but I want to read the Dark Storm tales.
Yeah.
It sounds like an awesome fantasy series.
So many of those.
I want to know
there's some kind of demons.
There's no such thing as demons.
Because we are demons and we eat children.
Who do you think is the protagonist of the Dark Storm tales?
Well,
everybody.
Okay, I'm still stuck
on the confession bar.
A Murder on the Orient Express.
I was just trying to say about the confession bar, right. Bar before we move
confession
on to Dark
Storm.
Bar. It's because to me it sounds like because he was being so nice to the kid, and you eat the confession bar.
Yeah, exactly. You're punishing the kid.
But like then you eat the confession bar, and it's this bar. But what it does is through their magic like nutrients, it makes you feel like horrible inside. It makes you have anxiety,
or it makes you tell the truth.
Is there an oath rod?
No. Yeah, because it's confession. But
did
like
you say an oath rod?
An oath rod.
Jesus Christ. It's happening again. It's happening again.
What's happening?
I'm just trying to say this thing.
What's happening?
I'm saying it's like the confession bar, which yes, it makes you tell the truth, but also part of confession is being repentant.
Absolved. Repentant and absolved.
Sorry. You're doing that thing.
I'm trying to join in.
I'm not doing
interesting
this
conversation.
No, I just want to be a part of the conversation. Now you make me seem like an asshole.
I do want to just be part of it.
Okay, no, but part of it is penitence, right? The penitent man.
The penitent man.
Yes, I know, obviously. The penitent man.
He's talking about Indiana Jones in the last.
Yeah, I know. Okay, look. So part of the confession bar is it makes you tell the truth, but it also has to give you penitence. And part of that is by making you, filling you, the flavor, the nutrients in it fill you full of grief.
Nougats.
Jesse! Patrick!
I'm just laughing. I'm sorry. I mean, nougat does instill a lot of emotions in me. Okay. But yes, the flavors.
It's done. It's fine. I get the point.
No, but
I get the point.
It's
over now.
I like the point. It was a good point.
Well, and it doesn't matter if it was a good point or not. It was ruined by just like this constant like barrage of like, rah!
I suspect.
From all y'all.
Since we know that this fellow was saying confection bar.
Yes, I know. I was just trying to make, a little funny little quip on the side. It was going to be a funny quip that took about 5 seconds and we would have moved on, but then it turns into this shit, which is like, oh, haha, so funny. And you think I'm just going along with it? Like, this part of the bit? No, it's fucking annoying, man.
I know, I get it.
Oh, God.
I get it.
No, no, you're my fucking psychologist now. It's like, no, no. The way you're sitting with your legs crossed and your hands up,
no, look
hands
at my
up your index finger up by your eye and your thumb under your chin. You're like my fucking psychologist over
he's
there.
He's in a comfy chair.
I'm just
there.
Relaxed. We're on the tail end of this podcast.
Jesus
here.
Christ.
I enjoyed your point. I
don't need you to enjoy my point. I just need to make my point.
I think
I'm not looking for affirmation. I'm looking to have a platform. That's what I'm looking for.
I'm sorry that I was fucking around. You know what I'm saying?
Well, it wasn't just you. It was both of y'all. Both of y'all. It's something about me. I've come to think that it's something about me. It's something about me that encourages this behavior. Yeah. Me encourages. It's like you each have a rope and you're running at me with this rope and either of you holding the rope on either side and I start saying something and you neck me with that rope. And I fall on the ground and I can't breathe. And you could and
we clothesline you?
Yeah, with the rope. You neck me. You neck me.
I don't. Is that a phrase?
You start necking me.
No, but you were saying
you like go into the corner behind the dumpster and start necking me.
You were saying you weren't looking for affirmation, but sometimes glad things come unlooked for. And so
what the fuck? I'm sure there's truth in what you're saying, but this is how one talks out of their ass.
Oh yes, no, this is the whole verbal. Yeah, this is verbal constructions day. I imagine that whoever the protagonist of the Darkstorm Chronicles, the Darkstorm trilogy,
Darkstorm.
Is, but I bet a portion
I bet he's cool.
of this story. involves
see the thing is you're laughing
having to
it's when I get mad that's when you guys like have that simpatico and you're like oh he's getting mad like you know what would be better one of us started it but if we work together we'll get exponential
so this guy's like Donald Duck,
I'm encouraging you guys.
I do think that the confession bar would be a key part of the plot of the first book of the Darkstorm.
Okay,
the Darkstorm trilogy.
Yeah, and the nutrients would make you feel guilty because that would be part of the penitence of after the confession bar.
It would be a whole thing the main character's dealing with. The main character would wrestle with this.
Thank you, Patrick, for bringing that home for me.
There we go. Okay.
You guys.
That was me mishearing
you guys.
Confession bar for confession bar.
You guys.
So this is all somehow related to the
Does it have almonds and honey?
Nougat. Maybe it has some nougat. It's like, I don't know if it has nougat. Does that matter?
Does it matter? I think it should. It does matter.
No.
It does matter. Does it have raspberry puree? Does it have nougat?
For confection bar, it matters. But for a confession bar, I'm not a huge fan of nougat.
I'm not a huge fan of confession.
I fucking love nougat. Now, I'm not talking about the Three Musketeers.
Yeah,
that's not real nougat.
Nougat.
I'm talking some European shit that's just
European nougat.
Hazelnut paste.
I'm European. I'm Patrick European Ireland. I'm Patrick the European Ireland.
I like Europe too.
European,
so.
I'm a peean.
We're all a peean.
Jesse's a peean.
Do you ever think that Tuvok thinks
I like to pee.
Do you ever think that Tuvok thinks that everyone is really stupid and he's just kind of tolerating
this
everyone.
Episode,
it seemed like he was kind of just like just tolerating everyone.
This is one of those Tuvok gets his episodes. There were more of those early on where Tuvok is being arrogant and they're taking advantage of the fact that Tuvok was the first full Vulcan.
Yeah.
Main character
you get
cast.
You get a whole Vulcan.
So we get a lot of full on Vulcan. None of this Spock wrestling with his
exactly,
identity
yeah.
business, which was wonderful.
Yes.
This guy has a completely Vulcan
identity.
It
was
identity.
Wonderful. But it's fun having just a straight up Vulcan. And he's not a young Vulcan.
No, he's old.
He's an older Vulcan.
He's got like 17 kids.
He's experienced. He's got experience. He's got a job. He's in security, which is hilarious. Just the Vulcan taking security all super seriously and logically.
I know, he's so serious.
It's great. But part of that early on in Voyager, is where they use him to make a point against relying on pure logic. But of course, in order to make that point, they have to make the pure logic Vulcan fall for some fairly basic logical fallacies, which. You wouldn't expect a Vulcan to actually fall for. Vulcans have
I don't get it.
All sorts of assholery. Well, what I'm saying is that he's all like, there's no way that Janeway could be here. I'm using past information about Janeway to predict her future, which sounds more logical than it actually is.
Vulcans don't believe in time.
Especially
travel.
In the context. Well, yeah, especially in the context of
they don't lie
time
either.
Travel and particles and doodads and woo-wahs.
The list gets weirder as it goes on.
Dangly bits.
And all that other jazz.
So there
it's
was...
It's a planet with nothing on it.
I don't know if this was a continuity error or if it was just implied.
Or a continuity error.
Yes, or that. So Janeway...
You should go and kick him in the ball.
So do you know, remember the scene right before they were being escorted to the power plant, her and Paris? And that's when Paris was like, wait a minute, you're trying to say that we... Because that was when she spilled the beans, because she'd been telling Paris, mm-hmm. Paris, don't, we can't break the Prime Directive. And then she broke the Prime Directive much
and he
to...
He was all like, what the fuck?
Right, right. And then the next scene, they're walking to the power plant, and he's like, what the fuck was that all about? And she's like, oh, because we already broke it. Okay, from... Between those two scenes, when you look at her in that scene, she's wearing like the civilian clothing. She has her comm badge.
Yeah.
But when they're walking to the power plant, she doesn't have her comm badge anymore. And I'm wondering if that's a continuity error or if it's just implied that they confiscated it.
Because they have it later.
We watched them take the comm badge.
I don't remember
off.
Seeing them take it.
So you remember that whole business about how Harry Kim found the comm badges?
Yeah.
We see the guy take the comm badges and look at them. And he puts them on the table, conspicuously puts both of them on the table before they leave to go to the power plant.
No, see, so when Harry found the comm
badge... So you're right, it is a continuity error.
So I didn't see the part where he took it off Janeway. What I saw is in that scene...
I made
scene,
note of it.
In that scene before they were being escorted, I saw Janeway with a comm badge, and I saw Paris did not have a comm badge, and I thought that's why Harry found it, because he found Paris's comm badge. Yeah. But Janeway still had hers, and then they were being escorted to the power plant. She didn't have it. I didn't see them take it. I'm not denying that. I watched it, and I didn't... I think I even rewatched it to make sure, and I don't remember seeing it, but I guess I just got to watch it again.
My recollection, because I made note of it, because I thought it was not peculiar, but it was interesting how they made a big deal to have the guy... He takes their comm badges, and he puts it down on the glass table. The camera's
a greedy son of a bitch.
And the camera's kind of looking from below, and you see him put down the comm badges, and so that's why, you know, they find them later. Mm. It does seem that if she has the comm badge on after that, then that's a mistake, because they had already confiscated it. But who knows? Who knows? Feedback at discussstartrek.com. Patrick is generally correct about these things, but every now and then...
Every now and then, we throw one for Dan.
Everyone's flawed, so sometimes there's a mistake. So
I'm not joking, Lee.
Sometimes nobody's right.
Yeah. Reality's a strange place.
So the saboteurs were assholes because they were like, if you don't do what we say, I'm going to kill this kid. And Janeway's like, okay.
Yeah. Janeway called their bluff, and they didn't kill the kid.
But
they killed a bunch of other people. Eventually, they tried to kill the kid.
In that scene...
They shot Paris,
but... They didn't do it immediately. Like the threat was, if you as soon as you crossed us, we're gonna blow that kid's head off.
I know.
Where instead, it turned into like a bunch of chaos because they were jokers. These guys were jokers.
It said this was. They go, your job is to get us past the guards. You'll tell them you're bringing us here to negotiate a settlement of our dispute with the power company. And where was he threatening? There was one point where he was actually threatening the kid.
I've got a gun on. He said, my buddy, whatever his name was, has a gun in the kid's back.
Oh, yeah. So go.
And you'll be the first victim.
She goes,
I cannot and will not do anything to help you.
And then he says, think before you say no. Turla has a weapon on the boy. And then the guard's like, says something, then McCool says something, and then Janeway says, I'm a hostage. These men are here to break into the plant. She pretty much, she like, called his bluff like almost immediately.
Yeah, almost immediately.
It was almost immediately.
And he was shocked. His face was
That's
all
what I'm
like,
saying.
What?
Like you just said though that like she it was a while before she called his bluff. It's like, no, it happened right in the same scene.
I don't recall saying it was a while before she called
I want to play back the tape and then make sure, because I could have sworn
It wasn't my intention, because in my mind I thought it was a badass scene of Janeway being like, fuck you, I'm calling your bluff, and everything turned into chaos instead of like if the guy was a real like hardcore criminal, the kid would have been dead as soon as she did it, and then they would have started
killing
people.
My point is it wasn't a bluff though, because he immediately fucking shot. That's what it was. You said that he didn't shoot at the kid right away. I'm pretty sure he shot at the kid like right away. That's when Paris got injured, was in that same scene.
Yeah, but it wasn't like, in other words, it wasn't like, oh, she crossed us, double crossed us, boom. It was, she double crossed us, what the fuck is going on? And then people start running and then shooting, and then they shoot, then they try to shoot at the kid.
Yeah, so
like the kid had already like run away, which is why he couldn't shoot him point blank.
That's why I'm interpreting that is that she didn't call his bluff. She was like, fuck this, like I can't, I have to risk this kid's life, because in my mind way I saw the scene is that he did that in response to her saying no, but you interpreted it differently, so that's we're gonna have to
I buy your interpretation just as well. I
don't understand.
To my mind, I thought the calculation was, these guys are jokers, I and we have no choice but to not help them.
What do you think about their
acting? I just thought she was going to be like cold-hearted and be like, fuck that kid. Because she was already expressed annoyance with that.
What do you think about their outfits? It's all like
the candy cane, the candy, like, candy,
oh,
candy corn.
Oh, funny dance troupe or something.
Yeah, I know. They did. They look like some like Disney.
The candy corn.
Mickey
people.
Mouse Club kind of.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm Mickey Mouse.
So, okay. So one of those dudes was on an episode of Seinfeld where like.
One of the dude with the blonde hair?
He was like.
The dude with the blonde hair?
Or the dude with the dark hair?
The darker hair.
Yeah, I recognize. That
he played this guy in Seinfeld that worked with George, and like George was eating a bunch of shrimp cocktail, and he was like, "Hey George, the ocean called. It's running out of shrimp." And then George like later on comes up with like a comeback, and it's called. That's what the episode is called. It's called Comeback.
Say comeback?
The comeback.
I thought you said comeback. I'm sorry.
That's obscene. I would never say that.
You guys are silly.
Comeback. Wait, this episode's called Time and Again.
Time and Again.
What are you saying? Comeback.
The comeback. That was the Seinfeld episode.
Oh,
that
it was
the
Seinfeld.
The other guy, from this
which dude
episode.
Was it? Was it one of the lackeys?
No, it's like one of the main guys. It's like the he's like a little younger. He's got like darker hair.
One of the lackeys in Voyager. Like there was a scene.
No, it's one of the alien guys.
Yeah, one of the lackey alien guys that you don't see too much.
No, it's one of the main guys. There's two main guys.
I remember there was a scene where like shit was all exploding, and then one of the dudes was like, it was when subspace was being sliced open, and there was that one guy who was like, it's gonna fuck everything up, and then you see a shot of two guys just looking at it, going, yeah.
The resistance guy.
There's really only two guys, and then there was that random third guy who showed up.
Their face looked so just like wah, and that haircut. They all had that. Those
hair was creepy.
They had goofy
it was like
hair.
Some weird.
So like the guy with the darker hair, he was in the Seinfeld.
Okay. Well, yeah, he was the one. He was in my mind. In what I'm remembering, if it's who I think you're saying it is, he had the goofiest look when the subspace was being sliced. He was just like, grr.
And so George comes up with like some shit about like the jerk store called,
right?
It's running out of you, but like he always the whole episode he's trying to like trap this guy into like some kind of setup where he like gets to say that shit, and then he says it, and it's like, what does it matter? You're the all time bestseller or something. So the dude totally like carries him.
They could have done that.
And that's like the end of the episode. And like he comes back with some episode. Like he finds out that the guy's like wife is dead or something. And he comes out with some super insulting shit. Like, but you don't ever like.
So are you saying that this episode should have been like that? Like they should have incorporated it? Or
no,
are you just reciting the Seinfeld
episode?
No,
I'm just talking about the fact that this dude was in that Seinfeld episode.
Right. Yeah, that was
it's got Seinfeld. Know,
that fascinates me.
I thought, I was thinking like you were saying like they should have incorporated that line into this episode all like without
this happened before Seinfeld. This Voyager happened before.
Yeah, that's true.
It was
that's
a couple
a
years
point.
Before
that's
Seinfeld.
You guys are having an interesting conversation. I was a little bit distracted because I was thinking about how
Bellano was getting Nadion particles resistance from the other. The
Voyager was like 95 and the Seinfeld was
Nadion?
Like 97.
No, Nadion. It was Nadion particle resistance.
What I've been wondering since watching this episode, and actually I've been wondering it twice. Because you see it at the beginning of the episode.
Twice.
And you see it at the end of the episode. What I've been wondering is.
What about thrice?
What were Neelix and Captain Janeway doing in the ready room before the event happened?
That guy's a space dude.
Remember, what happens is that the shockwave hits the Voyager. And then everyone starts going like, oh, something's going on. And then Janeway comes out of her office with Neelix behind her. They were in the office together.
Yeah, why was he in there?
What were they doing? What were they talking about?
Maybe she was telling him he needs to chill out on all the space creepiness.
Maybe.
Or maybe she
was. That's believable. But
or maybe that
it seems like they hadn't caught on yet.
He was showing her his alien feet.
Right.
Wait, did you think?
It's like, look at my feet.
Look at these feet. Yeah, she's like, wow.
Janeway, look at those feet.
He's like, you know, it's really good for your coffee if you just let my feet soak in your coffee.
There's coffee in that nebula.
I think she was asking about the coffee, maybe.
And so he was like, let me
are
put
there coffee. Is there coffee in those?
So
feet?
He was like, let me put my feet in your coffee, and then you can drink it, and it makes it taste really good. It's an old specialty.
It's creamy.
What kind of species is Neelix?
Talaxian.
Talaxian, right? This is a Talaxian special. It's called
Talaxian
the space. He was
cream.
Giving her the Talaxian special, which is
what?
Which is
oh my goodness.
What are you talking about, Dan?
Which is a foot soaked. In coffee.
That's a
coffee with foot soak.
That's a trigger.
I'm not fond of this imagery that you're conjuring.
We'll just wait until 23.
23.
23.
What's the importance of 23?
14 coladas.
14 coladas. It's like pina coladas.
14. Kids playing. Children playing. Kids playing. Children playing. Kids playing. Children playing. Kids playing. Children playing.
What does he know?
The kid in Tom
Annihilation?
Paris, the kid in Tom Paris' business was fun.
Yeah.
That was charming. Yeah, that was, I know it was a small actually, part of the episode, but
that was charming.
A fun little nice. Arc.
Yeah.
Neat. He probably saw a little of himself in that little rapscallion rascal.
Yeah, well, Tom is a fucking rascal.
He is. Except he's an adult rascal, which is not as cute.
It is not quite as cute. No. Even when he's
I don't like him.
Wearing that silly little outfit.
Janeway was going to kill that kid.
Well, she was okay with the kid dying.
Yeah, okay.
That's slightly different.
But you know she
And I still think she thought these guys were jokers Janeway and that they could get the drop on them.
Hard officer.
Yeah. Well, she makes the tough decisions from time to time.
No, Janeway's
See, Tuvok. Tuvix.
Exactly.
Tuvox.
So there was that scene where Kes was talking through time to Janeway. Mm-hmm. I guess that wasn't even telepathic. She was just straight up talking through time.
She was just yelling through a hole in time, maybe.
Yeah.
The hole of nonsense.
Yeah, they were going to, what else happened in this episode?
Nothing, because it was a reset button episode.
Yeah.
An early Voyager reset button episode, and I mean, I think it's sometimes an unfair critique of Voyager of saying they did the reset button too much, because I don't think that's necessarily the case. But the thing is, as we mentioned, you get like a cause and effect, you get a yesterday's Enterprise, people aren't complaining so much about reset buttons. This episode, it's a little bit more like, okay, I guess none of that really mattered.
Apparently your central nervous system can show whether or not it has a temporal flux.
Oh.
Yeah, well, you know, why not?
It just seems like a weird thing for a nervous system to show.
Yeah. How does it show it?
Yeah, how does it show? It
depends on what kind of scanners they got.
What kind of scan? Well, yeah, what are you saying?
What I'm saying is this an active ability of the central nervous system?
How does it show it?
To report temporal fluxes?
Is it like in a chemical
They
sense?
Don't talk about that in biology.
Is it? Does it?
Don't know much of biology.
Does it manifest chemically? What are you talking about?
I'm talking about the central nervous system can show temporal fluxes.
Dan thinks it's
how, dude.
It's well, exactly. Dan thinks it's unlikely.
Elaborate
that this would be the case. Now we're
right
in a sci-fi universe where there's an elf creature who is dating Neelix. And also has psychic powers.
Yeah. I saw them.
See through time.
They picked up a space creep and they went through a wormhole into like some other shit.
When she said that, he goes like, it's your imagination. She's like, I don't think so. He's like, what else could it be? It's like, what do you mean? It's Star Trek. It could be just about anything.
Exactly.
In the world where like, if people are like, you know, are walking funny, they might have been taken over by some alien.
These are the silly people.
Now, do you think?
And he already knew that they have power. He already knew that they have super mental powers. Of course. Actually, no, that was interesting because he was saying that those were just stories.
Yeah, they didn't.
But the doctor was saying like, your species is known for having mental powers.
Well,
so
he
the
said that because
it.
She told him that.
Well,
we didn't see him tell it, but clearly that was the implication because he doesn't know.
So?
He doesn't have her on record. He doesn't have any Okompans
on
record.
He's all input.
There's no Okompans in the directory. That's what he was complaining about. So ipso facto, we may infer.
They just got to that Delta Quad.
That when he was taking her medical history, that was one of the things she mentioned.
Well, he was more willing to believe her than Neelix was.
Well, yeah, because Neelix is an asshole.
Yeah.
He's a total piece of shit.
He's an unsupportive,
especially in this episode.
Jealous, maniacal piece of shit.
Remember when him and Paris had it out?
Yeah, in Parturition.
Parturition.
They like they fought each other and then they had a lizard baby.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a pretty fun episode. It was a bizarre
episode. Differentially charged.
I know. I have a note that just says differentially charged.
It suggests a massive detonation.
Oh my God.
For real, dude.
No, what I was going to ask is do you think that these people eventually blew themselves up in some other way? Because they tried at the end. Gimmick at the end was a totally predictable gimmick, which was like, oh, it turned out it was our fault. In fact, it was so predictable. It was so predictable that they did the old semi-double bluff where they introduced the idea that Janeway figures out is their fault, but then we figure out why it's their fault because we think it's their fault for one reason, but it turns out, oh, it's their fault, but for a totally different reason, which again was thematically
was
a little weird and not that interesting. It was just like, we already thought it was our fault, but we thought it was our fault for this reason. Oh, but it so happens that no, it was because of this.
You were going to say ipso facto.
I was. It turns out it was for a totally different reason. Okay. All right. Fine. It's just not that.
Yeah.
not that interesting for such a clever idea. The basic idea of the whole, we went back in time one day.
Right.
For an ending to be that sort of predictable and pat, it's fine.
No one believes those stories.
But
it's like an episode to follow, like the pilot of the episode.
What's a pilot? Oh, yeah. Would you call this, when Paris and Harry at the end, would this be clamoring? This wouldn't be clamoring. This would just be chumming.
Clamoring?
Come on. Come on.
Like cute chumming.
Yeah. No, I wouldn't call it, because clamoring.
Clamoring is such a weird word.
Clamoring is that you're clamoring for something. Yeah, there's a target, there's an objective towards which you are clamoring.
It's more vehement.
Yeah. Well, clamoring, I suppose, is probably going to be on the vehement side of the spectrum.
They're broing.
You know what's weird? Also, is like
they're chittering.
There's a difference between there's a wry smile,
yes,
and a sardonic smile.
Oh yes, very different.
Ooh,
like
very
all different. These different kinds of weird. Yeah. Weird sort of word.
Sardonic
adjectives.
Smile has a lot more going on there.
But like a wry smile.
Wry smile can be more mysterious. Like,
a sneer. How about the difference between a wry smile and a sneer? What's the difference?
The motivation and the motivation behind it.
I say
the emotion behind it.
Right, but it seems like wry smiles and sneers are in the same.
You can also have a wry smile if you got a mouth full of like
bread.
Yeah.
Yes. We all know how Patrick feels about bread.
Yeah. I love bread.
Bread's good.
Yeah.
Bread's awesome.
But like, I think
good bread.
I mean, but like wry smile and sneer, like what, I mean, you can say the difference is
wry smile and sneer. Is that a law firm?
You can have those two things and you can say that difference is the motivation, but what is the motivational difference? That's my point. Let's get specific here. What do you think ChatGPT has to say?
I have no idea.
This has to do with Star Trek. This the only reason I brought this up.
That's what ChatGPT has to say.
Yeah, I guess we're getting a little off topic here.
You getting off topic.
A wry smile and a sneer both involve subtle, ironic, often ironic or negative expressions, but they differ significantly. So, okay. So a wry smile is more like a irony and mild amusement, but like sneer is more scornful or contemptuous.
All right. I can buy that.
Hey, can anyone...
We learned something.
We learned... Oh, my God.
We have almost no time left. So.
I know. Okay, real quick.
Last bit. Duty or no duty?
Okay, duty or no duty.
Ha. I feel it is my duty to point out.
Oh.
There is absolutely no logical reason to believe Kes is correct. My duty to point out. My duty to point out. My duty to point out.
I'm going
to
go...
No duty.
That's a tricky one. I'd probably lean towards no duty, but that might be a cognitive bias based on the fact that it's Vulcan, and Vulcans tend to enunciate.
All right, that's a good point.
My duty to point out.
I'm going to go duty on that one, full duty. Yeah. And then there was a...
You're not to warn these people. That's an order.
Yeah, it's an order.
That was just kind of excessive. She didn't really need to say that.
Yeah. It was used for emphasis, actually making it an order.
And a last one, can you... I amplified some background chatter. I haven't actually listened to it, so I don't know if you can tell what they're saying. They weren't really saying anything.
It was hard to say.
Yeah. It was. Could you play it again?
No pun intended.
I thought you were saying like Jabroni again or something.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, now that you said the word Jabroni, now I can only hear Jabroni. Can you play it one more time?
He said Jabroni in the middle there.
Jabroni.
That motherfucker.
Okay. That was good. That was good.
Just
I think that's cute at the end.
It is cute. They're making little quacky chittery noises.
We're running out of time.
All right. So that was, Jesse's dying over here. It's got Star Trek for this week, whatever week this is, episode 295.
We're getting ready to leave right now.
It was Time and Again. That's what we talked about. Next week, get this.
Yeah.
What?
We're going to talk about Shore Leave.
Oh, yeah.
Now, speaking of shore leave, Dan's going to be on shore leave. So he's not going to be here, but Jesse and I...
Special assignment.
Jesse and I, we'll try to plan some fun stuff.
Yeah, it's always fun.
To make it as entertaining as we can hope to be in Dan's absence.
We'll have to fill in.
So if you want to help us out, send us emails, O'Brien. Send us voicemails. That would help us fill some time.
Come on, I got five.
Come on.
And so you can send us a voicemail at...
Start some beef.
itsgotstartrek.com/record. Got it? You can record a voicemail there for us. You can email us.
Give us some shit.
Email us at feedback@itsgotstartrek.com. You can go to our Patreon. Give us money at patreon.com/itsgotstartrek.
Give us money.
And of course, you may follow us and communicate with us on social media.
Oh.
At It's Got Star Trek and most of the relevant social media places, as well as, of course, subscribe to us on YouTube if you don't mind. Follow us on Facebook, all that jazz, you know, Blue Sky, all that stuff. So until next week when we discuss Shore Leave, we wish you well, and from us, that'll be goodbye.
Run along now.
I know you're lying.
Young man, we're here on a business trip and we have a lot of work to do.
The officer told me you came here on the Continental Transport.
That's right. We're from Kalto Province.
Yeah? Well, I just talked to the transport attendant. He told me four people came today from Kalto. Two of them were a lot older than you, and they had a child with them.
Well, the attendant was wrong. That was us.
So, where's the child?
We ate him. Because we are demons, and we eat children, and I haven't had my supper yet.